Well, there you go, Jack.
Thank you.
Hey, did I ever tell you where fishermen go get their hair cut?
No, sir.
They go to a barber shop.
Oh, Granddad.
Well, this is a great spot. It's perfect.
You always say that, and we always come to the same spot.
Yeah, but don't we always have a good catch?
Yes, sir, but you always act like you've discovered it for the first time. Like you're Christopher Columbus or somebody.
Well, it's a tradition, Jack. My granddaddy brought me here when I was your age. It's a family tradition, but I call it the perfect spot. You know, one day, you might even bring your own grandkid here.
Me? A granddad? Wow, I can't imagine being as old as you.
Well, of course you can't. But you will. One day, many years from now, I'll be gone. And you'll be sharing this special spot with somebody else. I tell you what, you see that acorn over there? Can you hand it to me?
Yes, sir. But I don't think we're going to catch a trout with an acorn.
Oh, this acorn is not bait. It's the future, just like you.
I'm an acorn? Gee, thanks, Granddad.
Well, this nugget might not look like much, but it has everything inside to one day be like the mighty oak. All it needs was to be planted in good soil, where it can be nourished, and then get time to grow. Just like you, Jack, you have everything you need inside you to be like the mighty oak. And then one day, you'll be at our special spot sharing stories about our family and about how God loves us. Can you see it?
Yes, Granddad, I can see it. It'll be
just perfect.
I gotta tell you, I really like the question that the granddad asked. Can you see it? Because I'm convinced that sometimes what we need in our lives is just someone to come alongside of us, just to say, can you see it? Just to maybe present a vision of what our life could be. Maybe something that we can't even see for ourselves, but to come alongside of us and just to give us a vision of what could be. We're wrapping up our series we've entitled Family Matters. And throughout this series, what we've tried to do to the best of our ability is to point to God's plan for the family and for relationships, and to be able to say that what we want to see are healthy, Christ-centered relationships within the family and spiritually vibrant households. What we want to see is God's love received and God's love reflected. This is why we've tackled what we thought were some pretty important topics to the family. We've talked about what we do with unmet expectations. We've talked about receiving God's love, the Father's love, His forgiveness, so that we could then we talked about extending forgiveness to each other and what that looks like. And then we talked about the topic of sexuality. And then we talked last week about technology, the way that impacts the family. But we want to be able to see the family, to be able to receive the love of God and to be able to reflect it. But to be able to see that, someone has to see it first. Someone has to be willing to lead towards it. Someone has to be willing to wake up every morning and ask the question, ask God, God, would you just lead me to be able to lead the people around me? Someone needs to ask the question, what can I do today that will impact someone else's tomorrow? Because here's the deal. In 100 years from now, no one's going to remember my name. Maybe he'll remember some of your names in 100 years, but in 100 years, what's really going to matter? They may not remember our names, but they could be impacted and influenced by what we do or what we don't do. You see, what I'm reminded of is that our legacy, your legacy, my legacy, won't be so much of what we accomplish, but who we raise up. I am reminded of this from time to time, that there are a lot of people who could fill the role of lead minister for the Oak Hills Church. There have been those who have come before. There will be those who come after unless Jesus comes back. But there is one role that I have been given that is unique to me, a role that God has given me that only I can fulfill, and that is to be a father to my children. So, to the dads out there, first of all, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. We so need you. Dads, I hope that today is encouraging to you. I hope you're encouraged to understand that, you know, there's just no one else who can do what you do in the home quite like you can do it. We need you. We desperately need you. And so I hope today will be an encouragement to you, because our legacy may not be what we accomplish, but who we raise up. Another way to say that is be intentional. Be intentional about the potential of the people in your home. Be intentional about the people, about the potential of the people in your home. Now, you may be saying right now, oh, this is going to be a long message. I don't even have people in my home. I have a single household, or I have an empty nest household. I don't have kids in the home. Listen, this message is still for you, because we are all surrounded by people with potential. We are all surrounded by future mighty oaks. So we want to be intentional about the potential of the people in our home. I want us to pray together, and then we're going to dive more into that. Father, we just want to pause to thank you for your word, for your truth. We want to thank you for the opportunity to hear from you, to hear your voice. We are well aware of our imperfection. I am well aware of my imperfection. We don't always get things right. But Father, we look to you to show us. We ask you, would you show us a vision for what you want our families to be like? Would you bless the preaching of your word? Would you bless the hearing and the receiving and the doing of your word? In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. When Alicia and I decided to start a family, actually before, we talked a lot about that. We talked a lot about what do we want that to look like. I'm kind of wired that way. I'm a planner. I like to plan 1-year plans, 5-year plans, 10-year plans. You know, I like all that sort of thing. Maybe you've got someone in your family that's wired that way. I can drive Alicia crazy like that. But I wanted to read all the books. I wanted to listen to all the sermons. I mean, I was just trying to soak it up. Like, what is this thing supposed to be? And so we did a lot of talking and thinking, just having a vision of what it could be. Now, I will tell you, our oldest is 18 years old. We just graduated him a few weeks ago. Time flies, doesn't it? We just graduated him a few weeks ago. And I can tell you that over the last 18 years, we have been anything but perfect when it comes to our parenting. But there are a few things that we've been intentional about. And so today I want to share with you some of those things that we were intentional about. The first thing I want to share with you is be intentional about training. Be intentional about training. So I want us to look at this from Proverbs 22, verse 6. You may have heard this before. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. I love that word train, because it implies in and of itself an intentionality. It implies a focus. So you see a word like train, which you find in other places in Scripture, and you don't begin to think, oh, this is wishful thinking, or this is hope so, or this is I'll dream about it, or I'll think about it. No, this is about the things that we do on a daily basis that will impact someone else's tomorrow. When we ask the question, what will I do today that will impact someone else's tomorrow? Then we think about training. And we've been given as parents the responsibility for training. Now, there's something that was really helpful to me early on after we had our first child. So this would have been a little over or under 18 years ago, right? So about that time, I remember Alicia and I went to one of our first counseling sessions. Now, I'll tell you right now, if you want a strong marriage, I highly, highly recommend counseling. Do not let the stigma of counseling prevent you from a strong marriage. If you want your marriage to work, you're going to have to work at your marriage, okay? All right, that's enough to say. Now, why was I even telling you that? Oh, yeah, first counseling session that we went to. It seems that I had some unrealistic expectations. No, I really did. You see, what I thought was that having our first child was actually going to strengthen our marriage. And in some ways it did. As it tested it, our marriage matured, right? But I had unrealistic expectations that somehow she was going to have time for this young, needy little baby and still have time to give me all the attention that she gave me before he came along. Okay, don't laugh. The counselor was trying to keep his non-anxious presence face, you know, and trying not to laugh, like, are you kidding me? But that's where I was. You see, what I did is I didn't understand that I was making a hard season even harder because of my misunderstanding, because of my unrealistic expectations. So here's what I want to encourage you in. In this season of training, there are different phases to training as we raise up children in our home. And each one is unique. Each phase of training is different. So I want to spend just a few moments. I want us to just talk through those. There are four phases of training. The first one is the discipline phase. That's like years 1 through 5. Some of you are way beyond these years, this phase, and some of you are right smack dab in the middle of it right now. Ages 1 through 5, this is the season where they need us to do most everything for them. They need us right there with them all along the way, guiding, protecting, disciplining them. This is not the season where we say, okay, you go touch that stove. You're going to find out it's hot. No, we don't do that. We try to protect them from as many of the dangers as we can, because that's what this phase is about. Are they learning that there are consequences to their actions? Absolutely, both for good and for bad. But here's what we're trying to do during this phase. We're trying to discipline them for their good. Now, where do we get an idea like that? We get that idea from God. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always what, church? Good. It's always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. Now, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. For those who are trained in this way. The second phase of training, this is the full-on training phase. This is ages around 6 to 12. This is such a critical time with the people in our home as we're raising them up. Okay, this is where they're starting to really form their convictions. This is also where a season where they're more interaction with peers in their life. So they're spending more time with peers. This is an opportunity for us during this phase to model for them and to teach them what it means to love God and what it looks like to love others. This is how we treat other people. In our family, this was one of those seasons where we had a lot of those conversations of, well, yeah, I know that's the way Johnny's family does that, but we have a different set of values. And well, you're in EADS, and well, we just kind of do things differently. You see, what they're starting to understand, what are those values that we're operating out of? Now, this is such a critical season, because I was reading some recent Barna research, and this is proven research study after study, but 68% of practicing Christians surveyed became Christians as children. before 12 years old. I mean, I would be one of those. So it's such a critical phase for us to be intentional. Now, the next phase is the coaching phase. And again, recent research has shown how important it is when it comes to spiritually vibrant households, how important it is to have spiritual coaches. And these may be spiritual coaches in the home. This may be spiritual coaches outside of the home, people who are speaking into the life of the child, reinforcing some of the same things that the parents are saying. This is so important as well. These are the teenage years, ages around 13 to 18. And this is where those convictions are being solidified. This is where they are becoming who they are going to be. And coaches play such a strong role. I mentioned the Barna research. There are certain things that we know that are in spiritually vibrant households, things that we see. So maybe you're wondering, well, as a spiritual coach, what are some of those things that I can do today that will impact someone else's tomorrow? Well, here are some ideas that are not my ideas, but they show up in the research. In spiritually vibrant households, 73% set an example for the Christian faith. 71% encourages church attendance. 76% of these spiritually vibrant households talks about God's forgiveness. 69% teaches about faith traditions. And 73% teach the Bible in spiritually vibrant households. So take a look at that list. If you're wondering, what are some of the things that I can do? These are some of the things that people are doing in spiritually vibrant households. And as you look at that list, especially here in the coaching phase, some of these things are really important for us to be able to do. I looked at one of those. It said encourages church attendance. You know, this is not the phase where when one of your kids wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I don't really want to go to church. I don't really feel like it. And you go, oh, you don't want to go to church? That's okay. We'll just stay home. No, come on. I mean, I am trying to envision this conversation with my mom and dad, even in my teenage years. You see, no, get in the car. We're going. And it's not because we want to, you know, put on some show or because, you know, we want to have some perfect church attendance or something. You know, even in this season, it's not about showing them that it's about going to church. It's about learning how to be the church. It's about learning how life is not just about me, but being a part of a community. You see, these are the things that people are beginning to understand at this point. Yeah, you can go ahead and applaud that. I mean, come on. This is not the season where every phase we are giving just a little bit more independence, right? I mean, we're allowing for a little more of the consequences. We're giving them a little bit more leeway. But here's why this is so important to understand the different phases, because sometimes we start to give a little too much too soon. And what we find is we get to the fourth phase, the friendship phase. This is 18 and on. And we try to catch up. You see, we tried to be a friend along the way, and then we get to this fourth phase, and it can get difficult. Now, I call it friendship phase. This is not like some dysfunctional, codependent relationship with your child. No, you're always going to be their parent, right? I mean, it's a little more like a mentorship. But you're not on the field showing them what to do. You're not running the play with them. You're not even in the huddle calling play. You're not even on the sideline calling play. At this point, you are in the stands cheering them on because they are coming into more independence, which is a good thing. They're coming into more maturity. They're coming into more responsibility during this phase. And so this is an important season. If we treat these first phases correctly, these can be some sweet years. Now, I do want to say, this isn't about just punching the right buttons. Well, if I just punch this button, then everything's... No, we know that's not true. We know that we can do the right things, or at least most of the time. None of us are perfect, but we can do some of the right things, and we can still struggle. I mean, there are no guarantees, but there is always hope, okay? There's always hope, number one, because there's always prayer. I mean, how many of us are here today because someone prayed for us? Okay, come on. How many of us are here because someone prayed for us? Because someone was on their knees while we were out doing who knows what, but they prayed for us. There is always hope because there is always prayer. Keep praying. If things haven't turned out exactly the way that you saw them, keep praying. There's always hope because there's always prayer, but there's always hope because there can be relationship. This leads us to the second thing. I want to encourage you, be intentional about relationship. The Apostle Paul, he has a word for us. Actually, he has a word specifically for our fathers in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." A lot of times we think about discipline in terms of correcting bad behavior, which that is part of it. We think, well, I'll just punish them. I'll revoke some privileges, and the next time they think about doing that, they will think twice, and I'm going to get to the behavior that I want to see. That's one way of doing it. And you know what? It might work. I mean, in terms of getting the behavior that you want, at least for a while. But there are ways that we can go about trying to modify behavior that destroys relationship. And so in our family, we made the decision a long time ago to discipline for relationship, and not simply to modify behavior. Does that mean behavior doesn't matter? Well, of course it matters. But that's not the end-all be-all. In our home, we said we do not lie to each other. Okay, we just can't go there. Why? Because it breaks the rules? Well, it does break the rules. But not because it breaks the rules. Because lying breaks relationship. And we want to honor each other in this home. We don't want to just act a certain way or have people see us a certain way. We want to honor each other. So one of the most important things that I can do in front of my children is honor their mother, so that they can see that. There's a difference in disciplining for just behavior and disciplining in a way that preserves relationship. Andy Stanley tells a story, which one of his sermon series, back when I was like soaking it all up, is one of his sermon series that I listened to a lot. Really had an impact on me, still does. But he tells a story about one time where one of his sons did something that he saw as dishonoring to his wife. And so instead of just, you know, punishing him or revoking some of his privileges, he came up with this plan that he would have his son take his wife out to dinner. Now, not just any dinner, not just some fast food restaurant, but the restaurant of her choice. It had to be nice. And he was going to take her out to dinner, and there he would apologize to her. And so he did. Now, Andy's wife later would say, did Andy make him take me out? Yes. Did he coach him up on what he should say? Probably. Did I care? Absolutely not. Why? Because relationship was restored. This is so important. We should care about relationship and the way that we interact with each other. God cares about the way we interact with each other. And God cares about our relationship with Him. The final thing that I want to encourage you to be intentional about is be intentional about spiritual family rhythms. Okay, even Moses understood this idea of intentionality. Listen to what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." You get the idea. It's kind of as you go, as you walk along with each other. These are the rhythms that we find in our lives. And so we want to be intentional about these things. Even Moses understood that. Now, here we are. We're wrapping up this series on family matters. And though the series is ending, my hope is that these important critical conversations are just beginning because of the opportunity that we have. Because of the opportunity that we have to influence those in our home or those around us. Again, every one of us have the opportunity to influence people. Can I come back to fathers just for just a moment? It is Father's Day. Dads, you have an opportunity to bless your homes. You have an opportunity to speak life into the children that you've been given. I don't know that there are too many things more powerful than a father's blessing. Now, some of us have received that and some of us have not. But I think if we're being honest, all of us long for it. I had a guy after one of the last services say, "You know, I went my whole life in 3 days. I never heard my dad say he was proud of me. And 3 days before he passed, he finally said, 'I'm proud of you.'" Oh, the power of the Father's blessing. Do not withhold the blessing in your family. It's far too powerful. I think one of the reasons why we long for it so much is because God put that in us to point us back to Him. But fathers, you have an opportunity to speak life into your children. So pay attention to the rhythms in your family. You have things like bedtime. You have meal times. You have drive times. You have in-between times. You have those moments that they can just be moments and just kind of pass. Or you can be intentional about those moments. Now, I'm not just talking about affirming performance, okay? We can do that, especially us dads, we're good at that. If you perform well on the field, hey, high five, you know, way to go, I really like that, you know, whatever it is. And that's fine. But I'm talking about going just a little bit deeper because this isn't just about being intentional about potential. This is about being intentional about kingdom potential. So we want to call that out in them. We want to give them a vision, help them see it. Say, "I'm so proud of you. You know, I couldn't help but notice when someone was sitting by themselves that you kind of went over there and just sat by them so they wouldn't be by themselves. That was amazing. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you because the way I see you love God. I'm so proud of you because the way I see you loving others." What an opportunity to affirm these things, to call these things out in them. To speak life, to say to your son or to your daughter, or to say to someone who is not your son or your daughter. It takes us all to speak life into those. We are all, as the spiritual family of God and as the church, those that we are raising up. We need you, all of you. There is a massive oak tree in the front yard of the home that I grew up in. My mom and dad still live there, so a while back I got to go back and visit, and found me and dad were standing out in the front yard, and we were just talking, and he pointed to that tree. He said, "You see that tree right there?" He said, "I remember you," and this would have been, I don't know, 35 to 40-ish years ago. I don't know, you know, somewhere in there. I remember you and your brother out here playing football, and you went out for a pass, and I remember you caught it, and you ran over that tree. I mean, bent it down all the way to the ground. It bent, but it didn't break. You know, I would not want to run into that tree right now. I would not knock it over. It would knock me out, like cold. Because over the last few years, the roots have gotten deep. And the tree, year after year, rings of strength. I can't imagine all the storms. I can imagine some of them because I watched them in our front yard. The storms blow through. And yet that tree remains strong. That's the potential that we have. You see, an acorn is placed in the soil. It's not watered, it's not nurtured, it's not cared for. It's never going to achieve its full potential. And we're just not that different. But what if? What if we were intentional about the potential of the people in our homes? What difference might that make for the future? You are surrounded by future mighty oaks. As we wrap up this series, I just want to say, may God bless your families as you daily give them back to Him. Because remember, the family matters deeply to God. And may families matter deeply to His people. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us a vision for what could be. We're ending a series, but I'm really just hoping that these conversations are just beginning, that we would take seriously the potential in our homes. Not just any potential, but potential to serve you, to love you, to worship you, to know you, to be known by you. Would you grant us these things? And Father, for some of us, we hear a message like this and we can't help but think about our regrets. Would you gently remind us that your redemption will always be greater than any of our regrets and that you will redeem? Will you remind us that in Christ our best days will always be ahead of us? We thank you for your Son who died on a cross, who rose from the grave, who cleared the path for us to have relationship with you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.